Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Cult Cinema Circle podcast. My name is Jesse, and I'll be your host. Now, on today's episode, it's kind of a special one because we have reached 100 episodes of the very show that you're listening to right now. Yay! Woo! I just want to thank y'all so much for taking the time to listen, downloading episodes, listening to my back catalog, following the show on social media, all that good stuff. You know, I do this because I feel like it and I like doing it. It's fun. And so I just want to keep that going and keep that pushing. So, yeah, but without further ado, we're going to move into what I watched for the month of March. But yeah, thank y'all so much for that. That's so cool. And I reached 500 followers on Instagram, which again is like a small thing, but like to some, but like, you know, again, I do this with like, I put as much effort as I can into it, in terms of social media, especially. So even to get 500 followers for that was like a big deal. I was like, oh, this is cool. But yeah, I watched a couple different things in the month, so that's super fun. I'll talk about each one. I also read, I'm in the middle of reading, or I have read a book or two, so I will also kind of mention those as well. But let's get started. So, beginning the month, I watched a little documentary from 2018 called Wolfman's Got Nards, which was directed by Andre Gower. So he is, like, the young man who was, like, pretty much the star of the movie The Monster Squad from 1987, directed by Fred Decker, who also did Night of the Creeps. I have an episode on Night of the Creeps. Love that movie. But yeah, and it's definitely a certain, for a certain person of a certain age, like that's kind of their like gateway horror movie. So yeah, Andre was able to do a documentary with this film. And I thought it was really well done. You know, I think he did a really good job with it. I gave it like a 3 out of 5, I think. I'm not the hugest person on the Monster Squad. I don't like love it or anything. I like Night of the Creeps a little bit more, but I think this was actually a pretty well done documentary. And it just shows that he loved this production. He got quite a bit of the cast back to talk about that experience. And then also like fans and their reaction and all that, and how it's kind of shaped their lives. So yeah, it was super fun. So it was on Tubi. I decided to give it a watch. So yeah, if you're at all interested or you want to watch that, then I think it's a well done little doc that, you know, is worth a watch for sure. Then the next thing I watched was Ginger Snaps, rewatching it. That movie is from 2000, teen girl werewolf movie. Yeah, so Ginger Snaps is about these two sisters living in Bailey Downs, one of whom gets attacked by a werewolf, and then shit ensues from there. Throw in a little bit about like getting your first menstruation cycle and your, you know, all that, and yeah, just being a teenage girl and shit. Yeah, I did that in preparation for my episode with Dennis Robinson that I did with him for part of to help promote his Kickstarter for his graphic novel that he was doing, which is so super cool. Please check that out. But yeah, and it was cool to talk to him about his like first time viewing experience of this movie, what he liked, maybe what he didn't, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was super fun to just rewatch that again. It's my favorite werewolf horror movie. Like, I just like this. It's so good. So yeah, and I own it on Blu-ray, so of course I was like, all right, and I got to listen to the commentary, and just, you know, kind of luxuriate and all that. So yeah, that's what I was able to do with good old Ginger Snaps. So that's what I watched after I watched Wolfman's Got Nards. Then the next movie I watched after that, it was a couple days after, is a little movie from 1984 called The Initiation. If you've heard of this movie, it's because I talked about it on my sorority horror episode I did with Pickens. But yeah, this movie, I'm doing an episode on it soon. So that's what I watched it for. And you'll be hearing that soon enough. But yeah, I love this little movie. I think it's so super fun. It's super low budget, like kind of indie fare. But pretty much it's about a girl rushing a sorority. She's played by Daphne Zuniga in an early role, like I think her first role ever. Anyway, she is rushing the sorority and all that. And they have to play this like prank at the local, actually the local little shopping mall that like her literal family owns or something like that. Anyway, in the middle of this, there's also like a psycho killer on the loose and some shit goes down and it's like a big old soap opera. You'll hear all about that in the episode that I am currently editing and will be posting soon. But yeah, I like this movie and I am glad to cover it. It is turning, I think, what is it, fucking 40, I think, now? Yeah, 1984. Oh my god. But yeah, so super cool, and it's so super fun. So yeah, it was on Tubi. You know, it tends to live there, or you can find it free somewhere. So yeah, I would definitely give that a watch. I really like it personally. Then the next movie I watched was a movie, Phantasm, from 1979, because I did cover that in the show earlier this month, I believe, because it is celebrating, I believe it is, if I could do math, Jesus Christ, 45 years, I believe it is. But yeah, so I like this movie, so I gave it a 3.5 and a heart. Pretty much, it's about this young boy and his friends. They're facing off against a mysterious grave robber, only known as the Tall Man, who keeps a mysterious arsenal of terrible weapons with him. Yeah, I like this movie. It's a little like dreamlike fucking weird horror show with some silver killer balls and like just some synth rock, like prog rock, like it's a whole thing, I guess prog rock really, but like it's just so, I like this quite a bit, you know. It's not for everybody, and you know, no spoilers or anything, but like if you don't know, but like yeah, some people are just like, nah, screw the end of that movie or whatever, but like I personally like it and I think it's worth a watch for sure. Especially if it's maybe not gateway horror necessarily, but I would definitely recommend it. We'll get into a movie that's kind of gateway horror-ish that I would talk about, but yeah, I like Phantasm, and that's what I watched. And also I think whatever is on where you can find it, whether it was on, I think it was Shudder or wherever the hell I watched it, I don't remember, but like I think it's pretty much like the 4K version of it. So yeah, if you have the means to, you know, be able to watch it in 4K and all that, I would definitely recommend, because it looks really pretty. So yeah, that's what I watched for that. And then the next thing I watched was not for the show, thank God. Of course, I love, you know, covering things on the show, but like, you know, a lot of my watching is because I'm going to be covering it on the show soon or like whatever the hell. But this was something I was not covering yet. And that's called The Living End from 1992. This is a Greg Araki movie. So it's about these two HIV positive young men, one who's like a semi-employed film critic and another one who's like a hot hustler. And they tear off on a cross-country crime spree. So it's being gay and doing crimes. Love that. Yeah, I love Greg Araki as a director. I've seen quite a few of his different movies, and so super jazzed. This one was a super fun one. I liked it more than I did the movie Kaboom, and I guess also maybe a little bit like Totally Fucked Up, although I did not hate that movie, but like I don't know, like I put this Totally Fucked Up like on the same kind of, you know, page, I guess. I did not like Kaboom a whole lot personally, but anyway, yeah, I love Greg Araki's director. He's like one of my faves. I gave this a little 3. You know, it was perfectly fine. I did watch it on Canopy. So again, Arthur, the aardvark, did not lie to us when he said having fun is not hard when you have a library card. Because I've been watching some stuff on like Canopy and Hoopla, also with the books I've read or been trying to read. I've been using Libby, so that's super fun. Again, all of this is free if you just get a library card. It's fucking great. So yeah, but that was The Living End. I watched that. And yeah, that was super fun. And then the next movie I watched after that is on Shudder. It's from 2022 and it's called Influencer. So Influencer, if you don't know, it's about a young lady named Madison who's played by Emily Tennant. You'd recognize her from a few different things, like she was in Juno and Jennifer's Body, the sequel to Scooby-Doo, John Tucker Must Die, a couple different movies like that. She's kind of like all up in there. She plays the titular influencer, I guess. And then she meets a girl named CW, played by Cassandra Nod, who is kind of a newer actress. She was in Descendants 2 and 3, I think, on Disney. And also she was in It's a Wonderful Knife as well. She has a very distinct birthmark on her face. It's like a Weinstein birthmark and all that. But yeah, she's super fun in this movie. Pretty much Madison goes on a trip to Thailand as an influencer, and she meets CW, played by Cassandra, and well, shit goes down from there. I liked it. I hadn't watched it. I mean, I definitely could have like earlier probably, but I just never got around to it. But I'm glad I did. I liked this. I gave it a little 3.5 and a heart. It's like social media horror. So in line with something a little bit like Sissy from Australia, I think came out the same year, or like Deadstream. Although I think I liked this a little bit more than Deadstream personally. That's just me, but I also liked Sissy though too. So I would watch this in Sissy actually. It'd be kind of a fun little double feature. That's just my opinion, but yeah, they're both on Shudder, I think too. So that's good. But yeah. Yeah, influencer. It's kind of a weird, like, I'm not going to get too much into it, but yeah, it's about, things are not always as they seem, if you will. That's what I'll say. And then the next movie I watched after that was, it has to be my favorite romantic comedy of all time. Is My Best Friend's Wedding from 1997. That's right. Julie Roberts and Dermot Mulroney and all them. So I gave this movie a 4.5 and a heart. I love it so much. This is a PJ Hogan movie, same guy who did Muriel's Wedding. And so if you don't know My Best Friend's Wedding, it's about Julianne, played by Julia Roberts. She's a food critic, and her best friend Michael is getting married. That's Dermot Mulroney, to Kimmy, played by Cameron Diaz, who's like loaded as fuck. Anyway, so. Yeah, Julianne is like in love with Michael, but has never told him. And so she decides to break up the marriage, and she only has 4 days to do it. And it's just like fucking crazy. The backdrop of, Chicago and all that. Like, it's just a super fun movie. It's like, it kind of is a romantic comedy because it's about a whole fucking wedding. But like, it's an anti-rom-com. And I love everything about it. Like, I just think it's so well done. I mean, I like 13 Going on 30, for example. Like, there are some romantic comedies that I can kind of get into, but overall, like, I'm not the hugest on them. I'm a little different from my sister in that regard, but like, cause she loves her rom-com, if you haven't heard, but, on the show, but yeah, I really like this movie personally. It was on Netflix, and so I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to pull up on this. That's what I did with that. So yeah, My Best Friend's Wedding. Awesome movie. Love it. Then the next movie I watched after that was a little movie from 1989 called Teen Witch. I'm going to be covering that in the show soon. So I said, is this movie like 80s trash? Sure. Do I love it for being 80s trash? Absolutely. If you don't know what this movie is, so Teen Witch from 1989, is Louise Miller, played by Robin Lively of the Livelies of Hollywood, Blake Lively and Jason Lively and all them. And Louise is not really popular in her school, but she finds out on her 16th birthday that she is in fact a witch, a teen witch, if you will. And she's just like figuring out how to harness the powers that she has. We have Zelda Rubinstein from Poltergeist. This house is clear. All that. Actually, the sister from the Monster Squad, the older sister, plays Randa in this movie. Super fun. Marsha Wallace is there. Edna Krabappel from The Simpsons. Super fun. Dick Sargent from I Dream of Jeannie. Like, what the hell? This movie's all over the place. It's kind of a fever dream. I'm sure you'll hear all about it when I have the episode on it. But yeah, this movie is super fun. I gave it a 3.5 and a star, little heart. I don't think I would own it necessarily, but I like when it's on every now and then, because it's just so super fun, and it's very, very 80s in that regard, so. But another thing that's also super 80s that I really liked was a little movie that I covered on the show this month was Troop Beverly Hills from 1989 as well. This is actually a first time watch for me, and I had not seen it before. And my God, like, how could I not have seen it? Like, goddamn. This movie, it's Shelley Long. She is playing Phyllis Neffler. She's currently separating from her husband, Craig T. Nelson, and they live in Beverly Hills because they're rich. And she decides to take on the leadership of her daughter's wilderness girls troop, and they get to learn things along the way, and they get to become better people, and I love that. Like, this movie is so good. You know, go listen to the episode on it, but please go watch it. I would rent this shit. Like, it was on Pluto, so that's where I watched it. But yes, you should absolutely give this movie money. I'm sorry, but like, if you haven't seen it before, like, please do. It's so camp, so colorful. I think the message is really good. Like, these critics did not know what they were fucking doing in 1989, or like, it was just a bunch of white men, because they didn't understand class and camp and like how wonderful this is. And also just like how fucking great Shelley Long is. And this is also kind of a little bit of a risk, because she had left Cheers by this point, and people didn't think that Shelley Long could really do anything after Cheers. So, you know, this movie, personally, I think shows that she absolutely fucking could, but like, that's just me. But yeah, no, True Beverly Hills is so fucking awesome. And then a little movie after that I watched, I decided to watch Tourist Trap from 1979. You'll be hearing an episode on that pretty soon. Yeah, Tourist Trap is, so it's celebrating, I think, what is it, 45 years, I guess? So yeah, super fun. This is about a group of girls, these three girls and their little boyfriends that they got. They end up at this tourist trap, Slauson's Lost Oasis, run by Mr. Slauson, played by Chuck Connors. There's a young Tanya Roberts in here, like, all sorts of shit. Same guy who did the music for Carrie did the music for this movie. A couple of the people from Texas Chainsaw are on this crew, so yeah, it's super fun. It's a PG horror movie, so maybe not gateway, but kind of, sort of. That's what I was referring to a little bit earlier. But yeah, I thought this was so super fun, and yeah, I gave it a little three and a little heart. I liked it, and yeah, and it's streaming mostly anywhere. I mean, like, you find it on Tubi or any of these different places. But yeah, if you're at all interested in like a weird ass horror movie that is like kind of scary but kind of not, like, pull up on it and see what you think. It's a bunch of weird mannequins, so that's all I'll say. Yeah. And then after that, I watched a little movie on Max called Dicks the Musical. So this movie, I thought it was very unique, and I commend it for that. It's not going to be for everybody, but I do think it was a fun watch. So Dicks the Musical is based off of it's based off of an off-Broadway show that these two young men did. Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson are the leads of this movie. Anyway, so it's these two self-obsessed businessmen. They find out they're long-lost brothers, and they come together to try to plot the reunion of their divorced, eccentric parents, who are played by Nathan Lane and Megan Mullally, respectively. And yeah, this movie goes off the fucking rails. You got Meg Thee Stallion playing their boss at their company that they have, and it's like a whole thing. Like, this Bowen Yang plays God. It's like a whole thing, y'all. Like, this movie is so weird, but I'm kind of into it. Like, you know, I didn't dislike it, I guess. But yeah, and it's a musical too, so your mileage may vary, but I personally enjoyed myself. I thought it was perfectly fine. And if you're a homosexual, maybe watch it and see if you like it or not. I don't know how much people will like it outside of that, but that's just my opinion. But yeah, so yeah, Dicks the Musical, that's what I watched after that. And then I watched a little movie from 1996. I decided to go on a little bit of an Alexander Payne kick, if you will. And I watched Citizen Ruth from 1996. This was his first movie he ever did. Has Laura Dern in it, Swoozy Kurtz, Kurtwood Smith, all sorts of people. This is about Ruth Stoops, who is a down on her luck, homeless huffing addict, who accidentally gets pregnant. And, well, let's just say, this is a biting satire of both arguments of the abortion debate. So pro-life and pro-choice. And I love this movie so fucking much. I give it a 5. I have no notes. Like, it's so good. It reminds me of, like, a, it reminds me of a little bit of, a, like, a John Waters movie, kind of, but, like, in a different way. Alexander Payne is a specific type of guy when it comes to his movies. But it, this is such a good example. And I watched on Hoopla with my library card, so love that. But yeah, so if you haven't watched Citizen Ruth before, I mean, it has Laura Dern in it, like I said, and a couple different actors who are just killing it. They're doing so good. But yeah, so that's what I watched. And then I watched a little film, or not a film, I guess a TV show. I took a break from film, and I watched a little show on Max. Has been real in the news now, and it is Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. Yeah, it's on Max. I just wanted to play you a little... I just put on my Letterboxd, I just put a link to a message to Dan Schneider, which I will play for you now. Yeah, so there's that. that is the Bratz Ew meme. Love that. But yeah, so if you don't know what this movie or this like miniseries, I guess, is about, yeah, it's from these two ladies who directed it, and it's talking about the toxic and abusive environment that existed within 90s Nickelodeon from one Dan Schneider. I won't go into all of the details of it because you could just watch the episode if you have the ability to. But yeah, it's I didn't rate it or anything like that, but it just, you know, some of the shit was just like, harrowing, like, for me. You know, you have, like, of course, like, the overt, like, just weirdness, I guess, just him being creepy as shit, but also just, like, his treatment of some of his, like, staff was not great, and, yeah, fuck Dan Schneider, like, he sucks. And then also he did, like, an apology to this, and that was also fucking bullshit. Like, oh, don't get me started. Watch your internet mom, Ash. She did a video on this. It was fantastic. So please go watch that because, oh, she reads him so good. It's so good. Oh. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I watched because why the hell not? So I had to cleanse my palate a little bit after that. And so I decided to watch a little movie from 1978 called Grease. That's right. If you don't know what Grease is, of course, it's about Sandy and Danny, Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. And you know what? Wow, these teenagers sure are old. Yeah, we all know what Grease is about. You know, it's Rydell High and all these people. Yeah, I mean, I hadn't watched it in, like, a minute, so, of course, like, a lot of people, like, know of Grease, and they've watched it, and everything, and I did not hate it, you know? Am I a staunch defender of it? I mean, again, I'm in the middle, I think, you know? And that's not just to, like, cop out or whatever, it's literally just, like, yeah, it's fine, the music's catchy, that's cool, it's not my favorite musical or anything, of course, but, like, you know, it's fun for a time, you know, and not all of it works or anything, but, you know, it is what it is, and it made boatloads and boatloads of money, so, you know, but it was on Max, I decided to watch it, it didn't have ads on it, I went back to the ads plan, to save a little bit of dough, and, you know, the ads on Max aren't that bad, which is nice, but, yeah, no, I decided to watch it there, and, yeah, it was a nice little cleanse after watching that harrowing documentary series. And then after that, I watched a little movie from 1999 I'll be covering soon. It's also from Alexander Payne. It's called Election. I've talked about Election before, rewatched it. I can't stop watching it. I watched it with the director's commentary this time because I've already seen it. So it's not like I needed to, like, completely pay attention to it. But yeah, and I got to learn a bunch of different things from his commentary on it, which was super great. But yeah, if you don't know what Election's about, pretty much it's about Jim McAllister, played by Matthew Broderick. And he is in charge of doing the election for student body president. And yeah, it's the rivalry between him and Tracy Flick, played by Reese Witherspoon. You'll hear all about it in the episode I'm going to do on it. But because I also, I guess I'll talk about the book. I did read the book to this, which is nice. Yeah, it was a nice little read. I read it on Libby, used my library card again. But yeah, I thought the book was pretty decent. Pretty much if you've watched the movie, you pretty much have read the book, although there are some differences, I will say. But yeah, no, overall, like, I did like, I love this movie a lot. I own it on the Criterion. Like, I, you have read the book now. Like, it's probably my favorite of his. It's that and Citizen Ruth. I mean, like, they're just so good. And I just don't think that, from some of the other things I've seen of his, like, he just has not done the same as he did in these two. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. But, yeah, but that's what I did. I watched Election because I will be covering it soon. So I decided to pull up on that. Oh, and then the next movie I watched after that was, it was such a treat. I really enjoyed it. I went on my little Olivia Newton-John kick and I watched Xanadu from 1980. The reason I watched Xanadu was because it's actually on, or it's probably not on there anymore, but they had movies that either were nominated or won Razzie Awards or something that were on there. So like Showgirls was on there and like the Wicker Man remake with Nicolas Cage is in it. But yeah, so they had Xanadu, and I was meaning to watch Xanadu, and let me tell you something, that fucking movie is so ridiculous and crazy, but it is so good. Like, it's just so good. So if you don't know, it's about a beautiful muse, played by Olivia Newton-John, inspires an artist and his older friend, played by Gene fucking Kelly, to convert a dilapidated auditorium into a lavish roller skating club. And I'm just saying, like, listen, it was fucking great. Like, Gene Kelly is dancing in it. Olivia Newton-John's just looking ethereal. Like, it's just so colorful and crazy. I mean, I don't partake in, like, the cannabis a whole lot. But, I mean, you know what? Like, if you do indulge, please indulge and watch this fucking movie. It's so good. Like, it just, like, you can... this is really, like, a you can turn your brain off and, like, really... I think enjoy it. And if you have not seen it before, I personally would just pull up on it. It's crazy, ridiculous. And the songs are also really, really fun too. So yeah, no, Xanadu was so fucking great. I loved it. But yeah. And then the next movie I watched after this was a little movie from the 80s. It's a teen movie and it was Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I had never really known about this movie before, or it kind of just came into my consciousness, like, you know, pretty recently. But actually, This Ends at Prom did an episode on it, and I wanted to actually, like, watch, you know, listen to the episode and, like, be caught up, you know. But yeah, Girls Just Want to Have Fun is about a young lady named Janie, played by a young Sarah Jessica Parker. She meets a friend, Lynn, played by a young Helen Hunt. And yeah, she wants to go on dance TV because she loves dancing. And yeah, and then Janie's father, played by Ed Lauder, he, you know, will not approve of this because he's like a retired army guy, or like a army guy of some sort or whatever. Anyway, but yeah, so all she wants to do is dance, and this just turns into a really cool dance movie. Yeah, and it was on Prime. Like, yeah, this movie's like, it's an interesting one. Like, I gave it a 3. I liked it enough. I thought some of, like, the looks were kind of cool because it's like mid-80s. It's like so flamboyant and just like out there, which I can really appreciate. But yeah, it wasn't like overwhelmingly amazing to me or anything, but it is something where I definitely understand people loving it and liking it. I'd probably cover it on the show, honestly. I do think it's like a little cult movie. Like, I, you know, I do kind of think it has that. But yeah, and I also thought, I don't really know. I didn't watch Sex and the City like that. I personally think Sarah Jessica Parker is like a perfectly fine actress. And in this movie, I think she does a good job. So, you know, yeah, if you've never seen Girl Just Want to Have Fun, I'd give it a watch. It's so super fun. And I mean, you know, Helen Hunt has always just sounded like that. So, you know, she's just like, it's a fun little movie. There's some dancing in it. Like, you know, I always love a dance movie too, kind of like that and like Hairspray and all this. Like, oh, absolutely. I can get into that. And then the next movie I watched after that was a little film that came out last year by Emma Seligman, and it's Bottoms with good old Rachel Sennott and also Ayo Adebayo. Yes, there you go. Yeah, so this movie is, so Emma Seligman, she did Shiva Baby with Rachel Sennott as well, and this is like her sophomore debut. If you don't know, so this movie is about PJ and Josie, they played by Rachel Sennott and Ayo, like, respectively. And they start a fight club as a way to lose their virginities to cheerleaders. The fight club gains traction, and then the most popular girls in school are, like, beating each other up in the name of, like, self-defense. But they find their, the pair find themselves way over their heads, you know, when it comes to this, and it's just like so fun. Like the little British kid from Red, White and Royal Blue is in it. He plays like the main football guy. You have him. You have just like Kaya Gerber, I believe. Kaya Gerber. Cindy Crawford's daughter is in it. Like super, super cute, super fun. The chick, I do not remember her name. I should have it right here. Havana Rose Liu, who is in No Exit from Hulu, which I actually watched a couple months ago. I thought she was pretty good in that movie. She is in this movie. Yeah, super fun. Like I really liked it. I gave it like a 4 and a little heart. This movie is fucking ridiculous, but like it is so, it just makes me like these people so much with Ayo and Rachel. I think they're so funny and I can't wait to see what else they do, to be honest. So I'm down with that. And the next movie I watched was also in their Criterion Collection as part of that Razzie thing, and it is Barb Wire from 1996 with good old Pamela Anderson Lee in it. If you don't know what Barb Wire is about, so Barb Wire is Miss Pamela Anderson. She has a nightclub and she lives in Seal Harbor. And yeah, when some shit goes down, it says, let me see what the summary says. When scientist Cora Devonshire wanders into Barb's establishment, she gets roped into a top secret government plan involving biological weapons. Soon Barb is reunited with her old flame, Axel Hood, who is now Cora's husband and a guerrilla fighter, resulting in plenty of tense action. Ooh. But yeah, I mean, this movie is like, it's a comic book movie and you know, it is, kind of all over the place. I'm not gonna lie. It is super fun. It's a little convoluted in terms of its plot, but overall, like, I gave it, like, a 3. You know, I didn't think it was the worst thing I ever watched. And, of course, just, like, seeing Pamela Anderson just being fucking barbed wire is amazing. But, you know, I thought it was a fun little movie. You know, again, it's not maybe the most well-made or anything. However, I think they do a lot with what they're given. And, you know, I don't think they had a ton of money in this movie. So, I'm impressed with what they were able to do on such a kind of a short budget, really. So yeah, I'm down with Barb Wire. You know, I wasn't like blown away by it, but I did enjoy myself. I will say that much. Again, mileage may vary, but that is what it is. And then the next thing I watched was for the show as well. Not Another Teen Movie from 2001. I will be covering that soon enough. Super fun. Yeah, this movie, if you don't already know, it's a parody film of teen movies from the 90s, I guess. Although it kind of is like 80s and 90s, I would assume. This is like a childhood watch for me. I remember watching this as a kid, and, you know, just seeing it. It's on Paramount Plus right now. And yeah, I love teen movies personally. Like, I'm always into that kind of stuff. So, you know, of course I know all of, like, I know a bunch of the references of these and like what they're making fun of. Again, your mileage will vary on this one. You know, I know, like, for example, like This Ends at Prom hates this movie personally, doesn't really love it that much. Totally understand. But if anything, I like the casting in this movie a little bit. I think that's kind of fun. And there are some things here and there where I'm just like, you know, oh, they're being kind of smart about it, or like, not even smart, but like, they're, you know, they're able to talk about stuff, and, you know, there are some things that do work. But again, your mileage will definitely vary. That's just, and I'm also interested to see how this episode will go. And I have a wonderful guest, lined up for that. So I think that'll be super fun, but yeah. And then why not? I just decided to watch it on Paramount Plus. Why the hell not? And then the last thing I watched, for the month, which again, I'm not covering it right now on my show, but I will be, on another show covering it, which would be super fun, is good old Serial Mom from 1994. That's right, John Waters. If you don't know what Serial Mom is about, I actually just watched it the day of this recording. I watched it, and so, yeah, this is about Beverly Sutphin, I believe, played by Kathleen Turner. She has her children, Chip and Misty, I think, played by Matthew Lillard and Ricky Lake, respectively. And then her husband, who's a dentist, Sam Waterson. And, well, she's a killer. That's all you need to know. But she's doing it to, you know, protect the honor of her family. Okay. And that's what it is. I really like Serial Mom. It's not my favorite John Waters movie overall. But it is one I really do enjoy. I gave it a 5. I think the thing I say in mine, on my first viewing of it, I said, what was it? I think it was the only cereal I know anything about is Rice Krispies. But yeah, no, it's so good. I mean, like, I like a lot of John Waters' films. Of course, I'm from Baltimore and I live here. So of course, like, I can do little filming location, like little tour, of where this is. So yeah, no, that's what I decided to do with that. So yeah. And be on the lookout for me talking about Serial Mom somewhere, I guess. That'll be super fun. But yeah. But in terms of what I watched, that is what I watched for this month. And in terms of TV, I didn't really watch a ton, I don't think. I did watch the Quiet on Set thing. And I have started, Living Single on HBO. I do want to actually get through, you know, trying to watch those seasons. I'm the worst with TV personally, honestly. So that's just me. But I also decided I wanted to be in my book era. Okay. And I wanted to, you know, read more books, with the help of Libby on, you know, with the library card and everything. So that's nice. So I did read Election, like I said, which was a nice little read. It was only like 200 plus pages, I think, nothing too crazy. And I think I read it in like an afternoon or something. But yeah, so right now, at least with books, so I have that one that I finished. And then the other one, that I'm currently reading, and I will hopefully be done with it in a little bit, is I'm reading The Virgin Suicides. And so that's a book from the 90s. It got turned into a movie. It was Sofia Coppola's first movie she ever did. So yeah, it's been fine. I will be covering that in the show soon enough, because it is celebrating its premiere from Cannes this year. So I will be covering that on the show soon. But I did want to get that experience of watching the movie. I actually do own the movie. You'll probably hear you'll hear about what I think about it. I will say here, I guess I do like the movie. Like, it's a perfectly fine movie. But again, you know, Sofia Coppola, it kind of hit or miss for some people in terms of her films that she's directed. But yeah, but I wanted to get that background of reading the book, and the book is okay from what I have. I think I'm on page, or what is it? I think I'm at like chapter 4, and it doesn't have that many chapters either. So yeah, I do want to finish that. I'm also in the middle of reading Jeanette McCurdy's book, I'm Glad My Mother Died. So I'm in the middle of reading that. So I'll get around to that. I need to really, you know, step it up and like actually finish it. You know, it is what it is. It's fine. But if I need to renew, I'll renew. But you know, book is crazy. If you don't know what that book is, it's about The Virgin Suicides is about these girls, the Lisbons, who live in like suburban Michigan, and like the title suggests, they all have died by suicide in some way, and this book is kind of delving into maybe why that is and what their upbringing has been and like all that kind of stuff. And it's told from the perspective of these boys who lived in the neighborhood and were like fascinated with these girls, I guess. So that's there. And then I'm Glad My Mom Died is Jeanette McCurdy, good old what was her name? What the hell's her name? Sam, I think, from iCarly. I did not watch that show, so I'm sorry. And as you can see, you know, I'm quite on set, you know. But I will say so. But she's a child actress. Like, she did other things before she was on Nickelodeon. But a lot of what people know her from is from Nickelodeon. Her experience just with her mom and the toxic relationship, the abusive relationship, that existed between her and her mom. Like, it was just like very, very harrowing in a way. And I haven't even gotten like completely deep in the book like that. I'm a couple of chapters in, and yeah, it's fucking crazy. So that's currently what I'm reading right now. I also have, I did want to read Trainspotting because I have the Criterion of it now, but that's going to be a journey, but we'll see about that. And then Harriet the Spy, I also have kind of queued up to maybe try to read as well. I really want to get around to that because I do want to do an episode on it, like at some point this year. But I want to read the book and also like watch the movie and shit. So, but I'm in my book era now, you know, I'm trying to read more books. And, so if you at all have any book recommendations, please give those to me. If I can access them on Libby, that's always great. Because yeah, that's how I want to read. And also audiobooks too. I read like Elvira's book. I listened to her book. It's a fantastic book if you haven't already listened or read it. So it's really, really good. But yeah, that's just what I think. That's all of what I watched in the month of March, or also what I kind of read as well. With all that. And then, of course, like I said, you know, we are at our 100 episodes of this little show you're listening to. So again, thank you so, so much for taking time to listen to my episodes and, you know, give feedback or follow on social media or any of these things. If you want to follow on Instagram is Cult Cinema Circle. On Twitter, it's Cult Cine Circle. Follow me on Letterboxd, Jesse Kremp, JesseKremp, all one word. Just find me on there. Keep listening to the show, and I will be back next month with what I watched in April. I got a busy month coming along because I got some recordings to do and to give content to you wonderful, wonderful listeners. And with all that being said, thank you so much for listening, and take care. Bye.